Hello and welcome to the 45th episode of the Pop Papa Napcast. I'm your host, TJ Deitch, and I run the website poppapa.com that hosts this very podcast, and also my photo diaries, which I'm trying to catch up on, but I always seem to be about 3 weeks behind. Hope everyone had a good week. I know there's been less time between this episode and the last one, because that one went up late, so this one might be a little bit lighter or shorter, but I think still got a few interesting things to talk about. Today, I had an interview at about 1:15. I'm a freelance writer, and so a big part of that job is doing interviews either by phone or email. A lot of times it's by email, and I actually prefer that on a workload level because I can just send the questions out and they can answer them and come back to me when they can. And then I just copy and paste that, put it in a document, write an intro, make a few changes here and there as needed, ask a few follow-ups, and it's good to go. The truth is, though, that phone interviews tend to be better because you can ask more spur-of-the-moment questions, it's a little less rehearsed, and you can get some really cool information that way. But the problem with it, as far as I'm concerned, is that, one, you've got to transcribe that, and that winds up taking a bunch of time, and I'm a fairly slow transcriber, and you're not getting paid any extra, in most cases, for that transcription time, which kind of stinks. And two, it's really hard for me to schedule interviews around Lucy. She used to have a lot more of a set nap schedule, and so I could kind of figure out when would make the most sense. I try to aim my interviews for, like, between 2 and 4 or 5, and sometimes if you're dealing with West Coast people or international people, you can actually get something to go off at, like, 6, which works out, because my wife will just come home, and I'll run into the bedroom and do a quick interview. But it can be tricky. In the past, I've had some situations where I did one where Lucy was sitting in her, what do you call it, sassy seat, the thing that attaches to the table and she used to eat out of or on. I put her in that, and then I went in the kitchen, so I was kind of directly across from her, and she did pretty well. And I was kind of running back and forth between her and the call, and that was kind of a big deal, guy, but that worked out well. Another time, the craziest one was I did a Skype interview with a guy from England, and it was at a weird time, and I really was hoping Lucy would fall asleep, and she didn't, or maybe she had just woken up, but she was in her crib, and I just had to leave her in there, and I went to the very bottom of our steps and did the call down there, hoping that the guy would not hear her screaming when she woke up. So it's not, so I've had some bad experiences. I've also had some good experiences, but you remember the bad ones more, for sure. Anyway, with Lucy getting a little bit older, I thought I might be able to get her to be quiet and make a deal with her and see if that worked. So today, we got up and I said, look, Lucy, if you stay very quiet while I'm on the phone, first of all, it's not mommy, it's not grandma and grandpa, and it's not grammy and papa, because anytime the phone rings, she tries to talk to whoever it is because she thinks it's one of those people. And so when it's not, and I'm trying to deal with something or do a phone call for work or anything like that, it can be tricky on, you know, negotiating that. And I mean, I like to be professional, so I don't want to have a kid crying in the background, even though I know that some creators would understand because a lot of them work from home themselves. Anyway, it's just something I don't like to do. I've talked about this before. I don't need to harp on it. But so I said to her, look, if you are good and quiet while daddy's on the phone with people that you're not related to and don't want to talk to, I will take you to the library. And right before the call, because they were calling me this time, right before the call, she was getting like real antsy and wanted to put her Merida dress on and get orange juice and water and all this stuff. And I'm thinking like, oh no, there's no way that she's going to be relaxed while I do this. And we're just going to have kind of a mess on our hands. But when I told her, I was, you know, what I did this time was I keep a footstool on the counter in the kitchen, and I put my computer up there when I'm cooking, because I usually use recipes from the internet. And so I sat that up there, and I took my phone in there, and my recorder fits in my ear, and then it goes down to the actual recorder. And then I had a few other materials for the interview, and I just stood in there, and I did it, and I knocked it out, and it went really well. And she sat in her little rocking chair and was super quiet the whole time. So I was really happy with her. I told her how great of a job she did. And it was funny because like she was kind of repeating what I had told her both before the interview and after. So she was like, it's not Grammy Papa. It's not Mommy. It's not Grandma and Grandpa. It's for work. I was like, yes, very good. And at first she didn't say anything about going to the library. I mean, I was still going to do it, but she didn't sleep well. That's kind of another story that I'll get to in a second. Last night. And so I kind of thought she would nap earlier. I even thought she might fall asleep before the interview because it just seemed like it might shake out that way. But she stayed awake. And so then I took a shower. I got her dressed. And then we went to the library. We actually ran into a woman and her daughter. And that we know, the woman was in the same birth class that Em and I were in when she was pregnant with Lucy. And then her daughter's about the same age as Lucy. And so they were kind of playing a little bit. And that was neat. We don't see them too much. They're in the town that we want to move to. So I think maybe when we do get in there, we might see each other a little bit more. But that was kind of cool. And so we talked. And it turns out three of the four women that were in the birthing class are all pregnant again and are due, I think, this spring and summer, which is kind of crazy. Like I said, it was neat to talk to them. I've only seen the mom, like once or twice since the birth classes. But yeah, it's neat. And it is good to know that we do know a couple people in town. So when we do eventually move there, we can maybe start getting together with people and getting dinner and all that kind of stuff. So she got to play. We got a couple books. We're going to try out The Cat in the Hat Comes Back, I think, and an Arthur book about rock and roll that I'm not sure the title of. We took two books back. We got a alphabet book starring The Cat in the Hat that she had like zero interest in because she only wants to read regular Cat in the Hat, or Cat in the Hat Blue, as she calls it. This will be a little confusing because Cat in the Hat Comes Back is also blue, so I'm not sure how she'll nail those down. And then this other book called like Happy Birthday Bun Bun that I really didn't like. I didn't read it to Lucy as much as my wife did, but the basic idea is that Bun Bun is a baby, and her older sister in the book, who is the oldest of three kids, gets upset because she doesn't understand that her little sister is going to have a birthday, which is weird because she has a middle brother. So that kind of didn't make sense to me. And then there's like parts of the plot where it doesn't make any sense. So she thinks like, somebody just had a birthday, it should be my birthday next. And at no part does her mother explain to her like, oh, this is how it fits in with this. There is a cool message in the book, which is that as a one-year-old, you don't remember your own birthday, but you have family and friends around that can tell you about it later. And so the older sister realizes like, oh, I can do that for my sister. That's great. And so then it kind of moves on and it's happy. But there's no real explanation to her of like how a calendar works or like the basic stuff that you would explain first to a kid, I would imagine. So it is a little weird. I'm not a big fan of that book, and both my wife and I are kind of glad to be done with it. But I will say that it is adorable hearing Lucy say, bun, bun, book. That's worth it. But it's not a good book. So I'm hoping that the Arthur book and the other Cat in the Hat book will be all right with her. While talking about books and sleep, which I mentioned earlier, last night was kind of a cluster poop as far as Lucy going to bed. My wife is a big Downton Abbey fan, and it's really the only show that she wants to watch like all the time. She missed last week's because some award show was on or whatever, and so she was going to watch the one at 8 and the one at 9. And usually on a normal night, Lucy will stay up till 8:30, and then my wife will take her to bed, read 3 books, then Lucy will cry about it only being 3 books, and then eventually she falls asleep. It's not that big of a deal. Last night, I didn't want to watch Downton. I'm not really into it anymore. I think they're just way too deep into soap opera territory at this point. So I haven't watched. I was in the room. I read a trade, and I was going to read a next James Bond book that I have in this collection. And Lucy came in, and she wanted to read books with me. So I was like, okay. And I read her like Bun Bun and Cat in a Hat and a couple more. She got these two potty books that she really likes, which is hopefully another indicator of like she wants to go potty on the potty. But every time we ask her, do you want to go potty like Hannah and Sarah from the books? She goes, no. And then we're kind of back where we started. So I read all these books, 4 or 5 books to her. She also didn't nap during the day because we were all home and kind of doing stuff. And my wife tried to get her down, but she didn't fall asleep and just kept rallying. So she wound up falling asleep on me around like 6, but she wasn't wearing her jammies. So I took her into her room and tried doing it while she was sleeping. But since it's cold, we put her in these onesies, and it's really hard to put a onesie on a sleeping child and have them stay asleep, at least for our child. So that didn't work out so well. She woke up. I brought her back out here, and she wanted to like sit with one or both of us, and then she did. She fell asleep on my wife again at one point, and I tried picking her up and moving her, and that didn't work. She woke up again. And then finally, I mean, she didn't fall asleep until like 10:30. She was watching Sherlock with us, basically. Or maybe it was 11:30. It was pretty late, because Sherlock goes from 10 to 11:30 here. And, oh man, it was just bonkers. Her being up isn't such a big deal. She does tend to chatter during our shows, but she's also tired, and I know that she's just doing it to stay awake. The problem was that she was obviously tired and just not falling asleep. When I was still in the room during Down Abbey, I was reading with her, and then I was like, okay, Daddy's gonna turn the lights off and go to sleep. And as soon as I did, I mean, she cried like she does when M does it, but then she goes to get out of bed. When it's M, she never does that. It's only when the few times that I've tried to put her down. And I mean, I gotta say, it bums me out because I don't understand why she won't just go to sleep for the night with me. And I mean, I know there's a pattern there, and I know she likes being close to her mom and all that stuff, but it's kind of a bummer because, you know, she falls asleep on me all the time. Otherwise, heck, she had done it earlier that night, and then she wound up falling asleep on me when she did finally fall asleep out here again. So I don't know what the difference is. Maybe that's just the one pattern that she really, really likes to keep going. But I don't know. I think I mentioned this because it happened about two Sundays back. Pretty much the same way, except for she stayed up a lot later this time, and it kind of was a mess. So yeah, on Sunday she stayed up all day until 6, napped a few times during the evening and stayed up. So I kind of figured that she would fall asleep early because she didn't wind up sleeping that much, and she woke up at about 8 o'clock this morning and all that. So it didn't really work out that way. She did fall asleep in the car, which was good, on the way back from the library. So she's out now. I'm thinking of making pasta again tonight and some sauce. It's not as cold as it has been right now, but it's still pretty cold. And we're doing this thing because Em read that when you put a kid in a car seat in the winter, you should really take the poofy coat off. And so we kind of try to bundle her up so she's not cold when we do take the coat off. And I always feel bad because it's like we got to take the coat off right outside the car and it's cold and windy and all this stuff. And then throw her in, and then we've got blankets and stuff to warm her up. But I just kind of feel bad. It's like, it's being a good parent because you're not endangering them in that way, but you feel like a bad parent because you're taking their coats off outside and can't really do it inside or anything. It doesn't work out that way, but just one of those things. One of those many complicated parent things that you feel good and bad about at the same time. Don't really have any baby updates. We did go to the midwives on Thursday last week, and they gave her the thumbs up. Everything's going well. And she is, you know, approved to travel, which is good, because on Saturday we are leaving for Disney World. This actually snuck up on me a little bit. I don't know why I can't keep, like, more than a week in my brain at one time. But, you know, we were there on Thursday and talking about the trip. And I was like, wait a minute, we're leaving next Saturday? And Emma was like, yeah, of course we are. And I was like, oh, okay. I've been working on all this stuff for work, these stories. And I kind of lost track. And so, I mean, I'm in pretty good shape. But it's just one of those things where I was like, oh, okay, gosh, I really need to make sure I've got everything taken care of. And speaking of getting everything taken care of, I'm going to try to record another episode of the podcast and have it go up next week. I'm just going to leave it at that. If I don't, I'm sorry. But hopefully episode 46 will go up next week. And then I will probably do 47 day or two late, maybe. We're coming back on Saturday, so my Monday will be normal, but probably pretty busy with getting back to work, and nap schedules might be even more bonkers. But if it does work, I will have a post-Disney episode up in 2 weeks. So speaking of Disney, we spent a lot of time this weekend getting ready. On Saturday, we pretty much were gone from like 10 till late at night, like 10 to 10 almost, because I drove with Em and Lucy for her music class, which is in the morning, and I didn't go in because I've gotten sick almost every single time that I go to that thing. Plus, there was a couple errands I could run that would help for the day. We needed cash and a few other things, so I dropped them off, and they went, and they had a great time as always, and I went to that indoor flea market that's not too far from there, and I got cash and a couple other things, so we were good to go. After that, we grabbed some lunch, we got haircuts, and then we went to Target and did a bunch of errands, picked up a bunch of stuff for the trip and whatnot there. We got luggage out of storage, And Lucy had actually fallen asleep between those two errands. And so we put her on her old bouncy seat. It's one of those ones that, you know, you just put like a little baby in and they kind of bounce up and down. Not like the full swinging thing. But she was so funny on that because like when you laid her down, it bent all the way almost down to the floor, which was pretty funny. But she slept through the whole thing. Emma's looking for this maternity belt thing because she wants it for the trip. And since, you know, thinking that we weren't going to have another kid for a while, I put a lot of the maternity and baby stuff kind of on the bottom. And she wasn't sure exactly where it was because there's so much stuff. And, you know, I pulled out a few and I was like, look, I'm not going to go through this whole thing. It's really cramped in there. We used to have these bags that held different blankets and sheets and all this stuff that we just didn't need anymore, especially when we traded a guest room for a baby room. We didn't need extra blankets and sheets, so that all went into storage. And these bags were supposed to be vacuum seal, but the seals broke a long time ago, and then the bags themselves actually burst recently. So there's a smattering of blankets, sheets, and then Em has a bunch of yarn because she likes to knit and do other craft stuff, and that's just all exploded everywhere. So I'm trying to like walk over that and move things around, and we couldn't find it, and some of them were on the very bottom of like 4 or 5 tall stacks of things. I'm like, look, I don't want to hurt myself in here. Let's just get a new one. And then after that, we came home. We were only here for about 20 minutes. And then we went down to the Palisades Mall to meet some friends for dinner at Joe's Crab Shack. Lucy slept here when we were here and on the way down a little bit. And Em and I were able to get all but like 12 minutes of Dan Brown's The Lost Symbol listened to on the way there and back. And on the way down, it was pretty snowy, actually, so it was a little nerve-wracking. But the streets cleared up, and it was perfectly dry and not snowy on the way home, which was pretty awesome. And it was great to get out. I mean, I haven't seen people for more than 5 or 10 minutes in a while. So it was neat to get out with some friends, and we got some more things done for the trip. And then we came back and just kind of relaxed and had a really busy day. My wife, Em, she packed all of her and Lucy's clothes on Sunday and got that all done. I'm going to do a little bit more laundry and then get my stuff together. And I'm pretty excited. I mean, it's been so cold here that I'm looking for some warmth. I'm also looking for a break from work because things have been a little bit crazy, which is, you know, in a good way. And, you know, seeing parents and just hanging out and going to the thing and just seeing Lucy at Disney World is like the best. The kid loves being there. A lot of people have said to us, you know, she's not going to remember, so what's the point? And to be completely honest, I think that's kind of BS. Lucy was 2. She turned 2 in Disney World when we went the first time. And she still talks about it. Every time she sees a Disney movie, she gets excited. And she remembers meeting princesses and having dinner and all this stuff. And is she going to remember this stuff when she's like 15, 16, 20, 30, 40? I don't know. But like, I don't remember almost anything that happened to me when I was 2 or 3 years old. So what's the difference if they, how long they remember it? It's about having that experience in that moment at that time. And you as a parent and a grandparent and other relatives, whoever else is around, experiencing that with them. It's as much about her having a good time as it is about us enjoying her having a good time and then also having a good time ourselves. I like that my parents signed up for this vacation club thing because it also gives us like a set vacation every couple of years, which is not something that I've ever experienced. My parents had a cottage when we were growing up, and so we went there a lot for vacations, and that was great, but we didn't travel a ton. Also, as I got older in high school, I was doing musicals, and so that kind of took out spring break. There was a big practice during spring break. We were there every day for practices, and then, you know, I worked and went on to college and all this stuff. So vacations weren't something that were a regular part of my life, like going to another place. So this is kind of neat because it gives us a nice place to go and a place to kind of build memories. And it's a long-term investment type thing. So like, I think it's a 45-year membership or whatever. So it's going to be part of our lives for a long time. And you can do other stuff besides Disney. You can go to Disney-affiliated places all over the world. And eventually we might start doing that or go on some cruises or whatever. But for now, with Lucy loving Disney World so much and being such a Disney fan, and my dad being one and my wife being one, and then my mom and I just kind of loving being around for all this stuff, it's very cool to kind of know that this is going to be part of our lives for a while. But kind of like the last time, I think I did an episode about traveling to Disney before because it hasn't been that long, actually. My main concerns right now as far as this trip go are weather, because it's been cold, we've been getting snow a lot, and I just don't know if either our flight or my parents' flight is going to get canceled or delayed or any of that kind of stuff. I don't think it's a huge deal if it does, but my parents have all the stuff. There's these magic band bracelet things that you get and all that. But hopefully, you know, we can work it out if it comes down to that. Hopefully it doesn't. And then the other thing that I'm not, you know, so sure about is Lucy flying again. I don't know if she's going to remember going in an airplane like she did last time. She did pretty good that time. The only problems were when we were waiting for the plane. She got really bored. So hopefully we don't get delayed or anything going there or back. But, I mean, that's all part of traveling. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Aside from that, I mean, we're staying in a really cool hotel and we got some good dinner plans. We don't have a lot of stuff planned for the evenings. We're going to be there for my birthday, my 31st birthday, so that's kind of cool. And we're also going to be there during the Super Bowl and the beginning of the Winter Olympics. So there's going to be kind of a lot of cool stuff going on. And my wife just told me, I think yesterday, that one of the neat things post-Super Bowl is that the MVP comes in for a parade. You know how, like, when they say, like, I'm going to Disney World? Well, they do. They actually go to Disney World the next, you know, day or whenever, and they do a parade in Magic Kingdom, which is pretty cool. So, I mean, my guess is that, assuming they win, it'll be Peyton Manning, which would be neat to go over and see, if we can. I mean, it's not a gigantic deal if we can't, but it's just kind of neat that we're going to be there for some fun stuff. And we're actually going to a luau for my birthday over at the Polynesian. And, you know, my wife and dad do a ton of planning for this stuff, and my mom. I kind of just, you know, if it was up to me, we would just kind of go and figure out what we were going to do every day. But that doesn't work for Disney so well, especially when you have people who really want to do a bunch of stuff. I'm kind of a let's relax and have a good time kind of a person. So these kinds of vacations are a little out of my element. But we do have a lot of time built in to just kind of relax. We did find out that a neat thing about the room we're staying in is that they have TVs built into the mirrors. And they've got a big old tub. So I might just spend a couple days in the tub watching TV. I don't know. We'll see. So yeah, that's cool. We've got a lot of stuff going on right now. The weekend after we get back, I actually am going to an event called Toy Fair, which is down in the city on Sunday. It starts on Sunday and it goes into the week. And basically it's this big thing. It's kind of like a comic convention, but it is more of a press and distributor event for all things toys, all kinds of playthings. This place takes up the entire Javits Center, which is where New York Comic Con takes place, but it is not open to the public. You've got to have press credentials or be a buyer for a bigger store or a member of the toy purchasing or building or making community. I go down because I'm kind of the toy guy for CBR. I used to go down for Toy Fair, the magazine, which is spelled different, but it's still confusing. And so this is kind of a cool thing for me because I get to go down and see guys that I used to work with. Two of my editors, my former editors from Toy Fair, the magazine, will be at Toy Fair, the event. And I'm going to see them because they stayed within the industry and work for different companies now. And then I also get to see the people that I worked with externally to bring in news and information for the magazine and also for the website now that I work for them. And so it's going to be kind of neat. It took a little finagling to really get the schedule down pat because like certain events weren't announced until a little bit later after I'd already started trying to make out my schedule. So it was a little tricky, but I really got everything nailed down and think that it's pretty well set. Like I said, I really like this event. If you've ever been to Comic-Con, it's almost the exact opposite, but still similar, kind of like a mirror universe thing. Because it is so nice to be there. You're not running into people. Nobody's like giant weird anime sword is bopping you in the back of the head. People are all very professional and dressed well, and you can walk down the aisles without any problems. And it's just this beautiful, wonderful thing that you can do. And especially when you've been to Comic-Con in that same space, you can really see like, oh my gosh, the aisles are so much easier to get through and all this kind of stuff. I'm not sure if it's going to be possible because I am going there for work, but I'm going to see if I can make my way into some of the different, more kid-friendly sections and maybe snap some pictures or check out some of the cool toys that would be more appropriate for Lucy and maybe people with kids. the main focus for me is collectible toys, action figures based on comics, movies, TV shows, that kind of thing. But I do have a little bit of free time, and if I continue to have that free time, if it doesn't get taken up by doing things that I'm actually getting paid for, I'm going to try and wander around and maybe snap some other pictures and check some things out. This place is gigantic, and it's really neat because it's set up by, like, type of toy. So there's a section that does dolls, and there's a section that's action figures. That's kind of where I spend most of my time. There's a section that's, like, Legos and games and all these kinds of different things. And this, the amount of materials in this place is insane because it goes literally from the kind of toys that you buy at a dollar store, you know, the kind of cheaper stuff, all the way up to playgrounds and cars that you can really drive. And so it's really an industry event. It's been going on for years and they really know how to do it. And so I'm going to be down there on Sunday. I'm actually pretty excited. It kind of makes me feel like professional again. You know, I get dressed up a little bit, I go down, I might have dinner with a friend who lives down in the city who I don't see very often. And so it's just kind of a cool thing. It does make the week seem a lot longer because, you know, you miss out on a part of your weekend because I'm going to be going down in the morning and going all day and then coming back kind of late-ish maybe in the evening. So Monday might be a little bit crazy, or it might not. I mean, you never really know with these things. Plus, it takes a while to get all the pictures off my camera and write everything up and maybe get any details I missed and all this kind of stuff. So it probably won't be super bad, but we'll see. I mean, I'm kind of knocking things off my schedule the closer we get to Disney. And so I'm hoping to have even fewer things on my plate before we leave that will then allow me to clear any remaining things up the week after we get back. You know, I've got actually a pop of the week. I know I haven't done this in a while, but I did see something recently. This is definitely a weird one. You've got to kind of follow me on this. But the pop of the week this time is Dexter Morgan from the Showtime show Dexter. In the past month or two, I've watched seasons 4 and 5. I wrote posts on United Monkey about both of these seasons, and I get into a lot more detail about it. But, you know, the main thrust of this show is that Dexter is a guy who has this urge to kill people, and his stepdad helped him kind of like focus that on bad guys. He's a blood spatter expert that works with the cops, and so he uses all those resources and those ins to frame guys so they stay off his tail while he's hunting the real guys, and then craziness ensues. Well, without getting too much into spoiler territory, because I had the very end of season 4 spoiled for me thanks to an episode of Entertainment Tonight, like back in 2009, which is a total bummer. He is married and he has a kid of his own, plus like stepchildren through his new wife who has 2 kids. And even though he's doing all this other crazy stuff that is insane, and I do not recommend or endorse being a murderer in any way, but he still is dealing with all the stuff in the beginning of season 4 that any new dad does. Because they have the new baby came in the beginning of season 4. He's dealing with all this stuff. He's out trying to do anything he wants to do, which happens to be murdering people. But, you know, he gets interrupted. He's falling asleep everywhere. It's all these things that kind of made me laugh. And then since I watched it after knowing that we were pregnant, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, I have all these things to look forward to. And then some bad stuff happens. And in the 5th season, he's dealing with a lot of that and trying to be a dad. And a big question for him is whether his son is going to have the same problems mentally that he has. And I think that's a really interesting idea given his situation. Obviously, you wouldn't want to be breeding and making more serial killers, even if they can be quote unquote good ones. But it's, you know, just a metaphor for everything that every parent thinks about and worries about. Is my kid going to have the same flaws that I see in myself? Am I just kind of perpetuating these things either genetically or by my behavior? These are all things that we worry about, I think, as good parents. And it is something that is, you know, taken to an extreme in Dexter, but it's still there and you can kind of look at it and enjoy it and kind of examine it in a different way. So for that, I give Dexter the pop of the week. I have no idea what happens in seasons 6 through 8, so it might be just a pop of the week for those seasons, But we'll see kind of how things progress. And with that, I think I'm going to wrap up. I think I've taken up enough of your time, and I have to go get ready for Disney World. So if you want to check out more of me, you can head on over to United Monkey. That's MONKEE.com. I'm going to be posting a little bit this week. I might have time to set up some stuff to go up live while we're gone next week, but I'm not making any promises. I might be able to get a post or two up on monkeyingaroundthekitchen.com because I've made some phenomenal food in the past couple of days, and I want to write about it, but I don't know if I'm going to have time, and I actually didn't take photos of one of them, so that makes things a bit tricky. And I am on Twitter at Papa Deetch. That's PopPadietsch. All of these links and more can be found in the Pop Papa show notes for episode 45. So if you want to head on over to the website and check that out, you will see notes about what I talked about, some links, anything like that. So I hope you guys have a good one. And I know I'm going to have a great one next week in Florida.